It's now time for your favorite guilty pleasure.
The E2 Books Show.
Check your innocence at the door and welcome two of the men your mama warned you about.
Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.
Welcome back to the E2 Books Show. My name is Craig A. Hart, here with my trusty co-host, Scott the Mangler Varengo. That worries me. What have you been up to?
Just, you know, mangling.
What's a little mangling among friends?
Yeah.
Is this something I'm going to read in the papers later?
Actually, I'll give you the background, quick story. When I was 19, I got a job delivering pizzas. And there's this one apartment complex called Knob Hill. And the first time I got a delivery there, my boss was like, just watch out for the Knob Hill Mangler. And I'm like, huh? And apparently that, like, there's this woman who ordered pizzas from them all the time and then sexually assaulted the delivery guy.
No, really?
Yeah, that's the story anyway. It's an urban myth as far as my experience goes.
Scott, he has knocked on every single door in that apartment complex.
Knock, knock, knock. Mangler? Is the Mangler home?
First of all, Knob Hill.
Yeah, right. So anyway, I was just talking to someone about that story the other day, and that's why I thought of the Mangler. So there we are. I personally have mangled nothing except the English language in every book I've ever written. But other than that, nothing.
No, speaking of pizza delivery, my brother, I think his first job, actual job, was pizza delivery guy, and he lasted one night. And the reason why was because if you didn't get the pizza there before it got cold, you had to pay for the pizza, and he actually lost money. So he went to work and paid for the privilege.
That's not fun at all.
He's like, apparently I don't know this town as well as I thought I did, so not doing that anymore. These days... That kind of customer service is out the window.
Food
to go or delivery food lately doesn't get there.
No, it doesn't. And when it does, it's just plunked by the door and the guy knocks and runs like hell. You know?
Well, we've got this problem here where our porch door opens outward and they place the food directly in the middle, like up against the door. So you can't get to it without knocking it all over because you're opening the door. And you can tell by looking at the door handle which way it opens. It's
right.
Like, use your heads. What is wrong with these people?
There's nothing wrong with me. I am pizza delivery man.
Delivery services are a pet peeve of mine. Like, how hard could it be?
Right. Well, anyway. I've done it, and I can tell you it's not nearly as hard as they're going to try and convince you it is.
Not as hard as making it seem.
No, you need to be able to drive, and you need to be able to read a city guide, or now there's GPS. When I was doing it, there was no GPS, so I had a little book that literally listed every street in the Syracuse area and then all the streets that ran off of it, and I always found the places.
And you make a good point. Now it's even easier with GPS. I'm not saying GPS is 100% accurate, but it's pretty good.
Right. And when it's not accurate, it's usually funny because someone ends up in the middle of a lake or something like that, right?
Turn right now. Okay. That's...
Then that sound that you put on Facebook today, that would be their car hitting the water.
Tilting up and breaking into.
I just want to take a minute and talk about that. My friend Craig created the most incredible sound effect of a ship breaking up and sinking using his kitchen chair and then manipulating that sound. And it's on Facebook. And if you're Craig's friend, go find it and listen to it because you're going to go.
Actually, I'll play it right now.
Oh, better still.
Welcome back from that little sound effect break. Hope you enjoyed that. What was it, 40, 45 seconds? Anyway, welcome back. But Scott and I do have some news, the continuing evolution of the podcast. And I suppose we're sort of coming full circle in a way, Scott.
Yeah, kind of.
And what we're going to be doing is talking a lot more about writing. We've had a great time, by the way, interviewing people, getting to know people, and we'll still be doing some of that as well. But what we want to do is get back into what I consider nobody else may consider this, but what I consider to be our expertise, which is writing and in general, then writing thrillers, particularly. A lot to talk about that. And that's what we started out doing when the show was, you know, Good Sentences. Some of you may remember that. So the E2 Book Show, we're going to be talking about various topics in writing, everything from, you know, getting ready to write, like prepping yourself to write, your writing space, characters, dialogue, description, co-authoring. Scott and I have some expertise on that as well. It's a lot of fun stuff, and then exciting things down the road that will tie into all this that we'll get into in a later episode. But I'm excited about it.
I am too. I mean, we always had fun back when we used to do that. You know, like everything else, we presented a serious topic in the most ludicrous way we possibly could to make it entertaining. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot, you know, I'm not going to say to you that Craig and I are ready to teach a master class in writing, but we've been at it long enough now that our experience has taught us some things that might be helpful to other people who are, you know, in the same place we are, or approaching the same place we are, or looking down from high above, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't intend to drag in David Baldacci and teach him a thing or two. That's not my intention at all. But, you know, I look back at when I was first starting to write and how overwhelming and confusing it all was.
Yeah.
Because there was just so much. And now I look back on stuff that I've learned and it seems obvious now.
Right.
But there are a lot of things that weren't obvious then because, well, first of all, there are so many conflicting messages. Mm-hmm. And this is probably one thing that I'll bring up over and over again is that there is not one way to do something.
Right.
And I got that message a lot, trolling. Like message boards when they were actually a thing. I guess they still are, but not as big now as they were. But going through there and just the myriad opinions that would appear on there, and I would get so conflicted, and I got to do it this way. And it is opinions from people I respected, whose work I looked up to as a thing. It's like, well, if they're saying it and they were success, then that is the proven path to success. And it took me an embarrassingly long amount of time to realize there is no one path.
Right.
You know, your path is the path. And so you've got to find what works for you.
Exactly.
And capitalize on that. And that's the thing that I really hope through all the topics, a common thread is to make sure that people understand that their path is the important path and you can use what other people learned.
Right.
But you also, the key is to learn again what works for you and then, you know, follow that as well. And don't let yourself get knocked off. And I've seen this in multiple industries where established people, can be kind of hard on newcomers sometimes because they don't want to take the time necessarily to go on that journey with the new writer. Right. We can't really blame them in a way, but on the other hand, they force themselves and their opinions on people who don't otherwise know better. And, you know, it causes a lot of confusion and resentment.
Sure. I mean, you're going to know fairly quickly in the process if someone's suggestion / technique / whatever fits you, because you're either going to say, okay, I can feel this now, or you're going to say, this is miserable. I'm going back to digging ditches.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You know, and it's just, you've got to, here's the other thing too, is allowing yourself to grow in the process. Mm-hmm. Quick example. There was a time when I hated outlining. I couldn't do it. I tried. And the prevailing message then of the people I respected most and was following to try to learn the process was outline, got outline. Right. And I beat myself up for years trying to do it, couldn't do it. And finally, I realized this is, you know, just prior to the Shelby Alexander books. That, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that.
Right.
I'm just going to write the damn book.
Right.
And that's what I did. Yep. And it started off a successful series. Now I've gotten to the point where I have started outlining more. You and I have started outlining using treatments and it's been useful and effective. And I can see the value in it now, but it took me some time to get there.
Right.
And the pressure to do it now was holding me back. And it wasn't until I let go of that I started to see some success. So, that, you know, again, follow your own path and your path may take you different places, allow yourself to follow your path wherever it may lead.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because, I mean, when we started working together, we were both dyed-in-the-wool pantsers, you know. Right. We never planned anything. And it worked for us fairly successfully with the spike hose, you know. But I think by the time we got to where we were doing longer works together, like, mm-hmm. you know, the last two Serenities or the last cleanup crew, outlining kind of became very useful, you know. For the first time we could see, yeah, okay, there's some validity in doing this, but we also have experience totally not doing it as well. So,
right.
You know.
Well, you know, it's sort of like the idea of not beginning whatever it is you want to do until you're perfect at it.
Yeah, right.
If you do that, you'll never start. And, you know, we've gotten to a point now, and again, I guess I shouldn't apologize for tooting our own horn on our own show.
No, I think you're allowed to do but that.
I'm from the Midwest, and so we don't do that here.
Right.
Well,
I'm from New York, so we're the best. You understand?
Okay, I'm going to rely on you then to help out. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, you and I have gotten to a point now where we're writing more complex things. Mm-hmm. And not only are they more complex, but some of them are being co-written by you and I. Right. And if you're co-writing a more complex project, it would be very difficult to keep all that straight,
yeah,
without some sort of structural something to rely on, at least for me.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult even when we have.
Yes, indeed.
But we're back on track now, darn it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you would have to catch it in one of our previous episodes. But the new series that Craig and I have started, he wrote an I just completely ignored at one point and went off in this totally different direction, which would have like made half of his treatment obsolete. You know,
it was, yeah, and it was the scene or the act that had all the action in it.
Yeah, right. the whole book up till now has basically been setting up for what I ignored.
Been rendered irrelevant. Oh, good time.
To my credit, I recognize the error of my ways and rewrote my chapter. But
oh man, well we need to do and will do a full episode or more on co-writing, because you know there's a lot to know.
There's a lot to understand. Yep.
And you got to find a co-writer who's on the same wavelength with you, or at the very least is willing to bend a little bit, because otherwise, I mean, if Rick Scott and I are fortunate that we started off on the basis of a friendship.
Right.
But I think otherwise, well, I think a co-writing project can either make or break a friendship.
No, for sure.
I mean, if you started out friends, you might not end the process as friends unless
exactly.
Scott and I share a brain, so that's not really a big problem.
We've been doing this insanity for 10 years now. I mean, crazy. As far as the friendship goes, and then we started writing what in 2017?
And I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been tweeting a little bit.
Yes, I have noticed.
And I told you that I've discovered the secret to Twitter is to unfollow almost everyone and mute almost everybody else.
Yep.
I also told that you might be the last man standing. So it's kind of nice. I go on there and I say what I want to say and I leave. Right.
And no one can do anything
about it. So far, all I've wanted to say are terrible jokes. And it's been a lot of fun because I just don't care. It's nice to not care.
That is good. I actually have debated with myself about going back 5-6 years and taking a look at the tweets I was writing then, because I was in a decidedly different frame of mind then. And I said the sort of things that might disqualify you from public life, you know, just trying to be funny, you know. Right. I mean, I didn't really have dead hookers on the floor in the kitchen, but the tweets say I did, you know. And you don't really need to have done it. You just, they need to be able to say, well, what about this right here? So I think I might go back and delete some of the most incriminating.
Well, if you know, I have multiple thoughts about this. First of all, if you don't, you know, as soon as you become president, you're going to be,
right,
you know, you're going to be screwed. Right.
I'll be like the host of Jeopardy, like took over, lasted a week and got fired. Right.
Do they not have people that investigate this, like vet these people beforehand? Is it left up to the public to do this?
You would really think so, especially
in this day and age,
since the guy was the executive producer of the show, you know, prior to this gig as the host. So it's not like it was like a studio page or something. It was the guy running the thing. Yeah.
The other thought is I will admit it's sort of bust my chops a little bit when I see it. I don't know about in this case, but in other cases I've seen where it was, you know, 20 years ago or something.
Right.
I got to tell you, I have said some things 20 years ago that I would not say now.
Right.
And if it had been recorded or something,
let's take a listen to some of Craig's.
I just happen to have them queued up right now. But I, you know, it bothers me a little bit that we're at a place where, you know, we have to do that. I was talking with a female friend, and she was mentioning a guy who had said something insensitive. And I was like, well, first of all, that was stupid of him to say.
Right.
But it was clear that he didn't mean it that way. He meant it the opposite way, but it just came off because he was a dude. He was just stupid.
Right.
But it's like I told, it's like, look, I think we're in a place where people are trying to do better, but they're doing better badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And
and I think everybody's expecting them to be further along than they can be, you know, at this point.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really excited about the direction. I hope you all are too, and stick around for it, because, you know, as I said earlier, there's going to be a lot of really cool things to come out of it, I think. Not to mention our progress with Arum and et cetera, and other cool things will be coming up. I know Scott's working on something. There's a book in the back of my head I'd love to write at some point if you ever get a minute or two. So yeah, I'm excited about it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good, or at least not really bad.
that's sort of my goal.
Yeah, just right.
Don't be the worst at
That's the fail safe. We don't want to set the bar too high.
That way, if you know people attack me, I'm like, well, look at this other chump over here, and they're like, oh, all right, you're off the hook.
Yes, exactly.
The E2 Books Show.
E2 Books Show.
By Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.